Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. This wonderful weekend, beautiful weekend to go out for, well, a walk around neighborhood would be okay. You know, that kind of stuff.
I think that's allowed.
Sure. Angelo Viola, he is Michael Mooring of Fishing Canada fame. And now sitting in doing Outdoor Journal Radio. Look at you. Is that a lateral move, you think, or is that moving up, down? How do you view it? I'm always curious.
I'd view it as a lateral.
It's a lateral.
Yeah,
move.
I think so.
All right. And let's not forget our good friend Derek Brandeo at headquarters running the ship today, as he has been for quite some time now. On April 2nd, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada pulled at-sea observers from fishing boats due, of course, to the pandemic. Now, the at-sea observer program provides independent third-party verification of commercial fish harvest activities, you know, quotas and that kind of thing. And because we always wonder, you know, how do you know if these vessels are being honest or not? Well, now I know. They have something called at-sea observers, Michael. Okay, at sea observers. But of course, the pandemic made it impossible for them to be able to do that and still adhere to the protocols that were put in place. So DFO yanked them all off the ships. Director General of Conservation and Protection for the DFO joins us now. His name is Gutsu, and he's the Director General. And to tell us why and how that whole program is going. Good morning. How are you, Darren?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate you coming on.
Oh, listen, I was just listening to the earlier segment of you guys cooking up some fish there. I'm going to have to go and get some scallops and lobster out of the freezer, I'm sure.
Are you in the East Coast by any chance?
No, I'm based in Ottawa, actually.
My role is
Director General of Conservation and Protection. I'm basically Canada's Chief Fishery Officer.
Gotcha. Okay. So most of us, I think that's a safe assumption. Most of us have absolutely no idea how you guys do what you do. And by the way, before I go any further, I just have to say, you know, I'm in the fishing industry and I make a living from being blessed to be able to fish for a living. And so I've been exposed to our great fishery from coast to coast for almost four decades now. And I got to tell you, every other country that I go to, every jurisdiction that I've ever gone to fish, without fail, one of the first comments that is always coming out in discussion is how great a job Canada is doing at managing its fishery. And and having worked with DFO for about 12 years, very closely with DFO through the 90s, and early 2000, I can tell you, you guys have got a good hold on this whole fishery thing. You manage it very well, and it's a no-nonsense program. And that's why our fishery is so good. So hats off to you for that right off the bat, just so that you know.
Well, thank you very much. That's much appreciated. You know, I can say it's a real team effort from a wide range of people who work at DFO, and, you know, including my fishery officers for sure, but also, you know, my colleagues in science and resource management, Aboriginal Affairs. You know, we all work together to make sure that the resource is being used sustainably, that people have access to the resource in a fair and equitable way, and that, you know, when they get their quota, they've got their quota, and you know, the idea is to make sure that there are going to be fish resources for generations of Canadians to come.
Just a quick DFO story, if you don't mind,
sure.
Darren, and then we'll get on with this. But I'm going to say, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we were shooting a program out of PEI, and we were tuna fishing. We were with a First Nations group that had a quota. Right. They have, and I don't remember, don't quote me on this, but, you know, they had 5,000 pounds. That was their quota, their allocation. Right. So we were fishing for sustenance and or market fish. We weren't releasing these fish. We were on their boat and helping them with the harvest type of thing. Anyways, I'll never forget the very first tuna we had on. And we're out in the middle of the ocean, Darren. I mean, you can't see land anywhere. There's nothing on the horizon. I mean, it is just a vast ocean. It was a beautiful day, completely flat, calm waters. We get this fish on. The fish is on for a minute. Maybe two. It's screaming, pulling yards of line out as we're screaming and yelling and all excited. And no sooner did that start there than three of your boats showed up on the horizon. Big, beautiful, shiny vessels. And they were steaming towards us immediately as if they had spies out there knowing who's catching fish and who's not. And it was great. They came, of course, they stayed their distance, made sure that they didn't get their boats in the way of the fight and all that. And then they, came over and boarded us and we did a great, little interview with them and just a wonderful operation. I can't say enough about it.
Oh gosh, that's really kind. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So anyways, talk to me about this At Sea Observer program because we didn't even know it was happening. Like, what is that about?
So, you know, again, one of the things that the At Sea Observer program is one of a range of different initiatives that we have to sort of keep tabs on the commercial fishery to see how much fish is actually coming out of the water. You know, what's actually coming onto the boat, what's being retained, what's being thrown back. You know, if they're catching any rare species or protected species, we want to know all of that information. So at the core of it, you know, the At Sea Observer is really it's a third party independent pair of eyes that are eyes and ears that are on the boat, and they are solely there to write down what's going on the boat. As I said, what's the catch coming in? If there's any bycatch. And, you know, they report that data then back to DFO and, along with a whole suite of other, measures, including as you experienced during your tuna fishery, we have on water inspection by fishery officers. We have dockside monitors who will, look at the catch, during the offload of the boat, along with a whole other thing. These are the ways that we gather data. We understand who's catching what and when, how much effort they're needing to catch fish. And we can put together a package that allows us to understand really the sustainability of the resource. And so, you know, if we have a quota-based fishery, for example, the At Sea Observers and will help us understand how quickly our fishers are catching that quota. And, you know, we might open a fishery for 2 weeks, but, it's a good season. And, you know, the quota comes in 9 days and then, we're going to say, okay, so that's it. That's the quota. We're going to close a little bit early. Sometimes it's the opposite, you know, we've got a quota, we open a season for, again, maybe 14 days and then, you know, it's going pretty slow this year. And, we might grant an extension of a few days to allow fishers to, catch their quota. So it's really about managing on the water, really about managing quota. And then when we pull the data in and we hand it over to my science colleagues at DFO, they're really able to sort of delve into the data and say, you know, based on the information we're getting from observers and other sources of information, next year's catch will be, so much. Again, might be a quota, might be a total allowable catch, might be whatever. And then they'll pass that information back to us. And it just helps us manage the fishery on an ongoing basis. And again, the idea is to make sure that the fishery is there for generations to come.
So basically, you know, it's a safety valve, right? It's a check valve. It keeps everybody honest. And you get great data from it as well, obviously.
So exactly.
That being the case, what are your concerns now that you've had to pull your people off of these vessels? Are there still fishing activities going on during the pandemic?
Oh gosh, to tell you the truth, there are fisheries full underway right across the country right at the moment. I suppose the two things that folks in Central Canada might be looking forward to are snow crab and lobster. But there's a lot of other fisheries that are underway at the same time. As I said, on well, all three coasts, really, right at the moment, and more will be coming online in the next few weeks. So, along with the broader government policy of trying to make sure that people can, where it's safe to do so, people can pursue their jobs, their economic activity. We're doing the best we can to keep the fishery open and keep it going. Now, when it came to the observers, these are people who don't. These folks are not part of the crew of a vessel, so they are coming from a private company. They're not DFO employees. They work for a private company. They're contracted by the industry, and in some cases, you'll have a fishery like, for example, our northern shrimp fishery in the Davis Strait, which is 100% observer coverage. So every vessel going fishing needs to have an observer aboard for the entire fishing trip. Other fisheries will have, say, 10%. So it's a bit of a lottery, actually. Then you've got fishery boats going out, and before they leave, they've got to play the lottery on whether they're going to get an observer or not. And then we can use the statistics that we generate from that particular fleet, again, to understand the dynamics of the fishery. But these folks, the observers, are obviously, they're not known. I mean, they may be known to the crew, but, they're not part of the crew, and they're a bit of a stranger coming on board. And during this COVID pandemic, of course, that presents a risk. Crews aboard vessels have told us that, look, we don't know what they've been up to or whether they've been exposed to the virus or what's going on. And observers as well, observers sort of express the same concerns that they're going to be going aboard these vessels. In some cases where you have small vessels, you're elbow to elbow with the folks that are fishing, and the observers express the same concerns. So our reaction, I think, at the beginning of this, April 2nd, when we issued the first fisheries management order related to the observer program, was to say, look, we can't guarantee people's health and safety aboard right at the moment, not the observers, not the crews. And I think, the important thing, the overriding thing, was to keep people safe. So what we're going to do is we're going to suspend the program for a short period of time. And that's going to give us an opportunity to figure out, can we do this safely? Can we get aboard observers aboard safely? And can we conduct the observer program without putting people's health and safety at risk? So that was really what the first phase of this was. And that phase went to May 16th. That order was up until May 16th. So and then on May 15th, while the order was in place, we were, of course, busy at the office trying to figure out, well, what is it that we can do in terms of the observer program? And what we figured out, I think, is that, there are a lot of safety protocols that you can use to make sure that people are going to be safe when they go aboard. They're going to be equipped with the proper personal protective equipment. They're going to have, standard operating procedures like any workplace where they can, understand risks, they can mitigate risks, and they can operate safely. So once we began to engage with the observer companies and the industry, we got a lot more information about how this was going to be possible. And so what we did for the second order that just came into force is we basically said, and the language is a bit tricky the way it's written, but basically what it says is that the observer program remains suspended unless observer companies have elaborated a series of safe work procedures that'll keep their people safe. Those safe work procedures align with what the provinces are doing. So each jurisdiction locally where the boats are leaving. And then lastly, we need to be sure that measures are being implemented on the vessels. So it's the observers themselves, it's aligning with provincial regulations, and then it's making sure it's safe aboard the vessels as they go aboard. And if those conditions are met, then observers can safely go to sea. And so that's what our current order is. And this order is going to run until the end of June. We think it's a cautious approach. We think it's basically saying, let's really, continue to focus on the health and safety of people. But if we can, if we can take what we think are reasonable measures to keep people safe, then we can get our observers back to sea. And that's what we're doing. So that'll last until the end of June. And then we have under the law for the fishery management orders, we can extend that for one more period of 45 days. Again, that will be up to the minister's discretion when the time comes.
Well, it sounds like you have the matter well in hand. That's for sure. Typical DFO. Like, you guys leave nothing to chance. And that's what I love about it. Everything is calculated and figured out, and it augurs well for our fisheries, and that's why we are revered in the world of fisheries as being the best managers of our resource by everybody, by the way. Every single country that I've ever talked to about fishing, they all recognize Canada as being the leader. And there's just one reason why. Darren, we appreciate you joining us, my friend. Really appreciate you taking time out on a Saturday. But all I can say is keep up the good work, my friend.
All right. Well, listen, thanks very much. Really appreciate your support, your kind words about the work we're doing. I would be remiss, if you don't mind, little plug that I thought I'd throw out there because the audience that you have, and that is that, the cadre, the fishery officer service is actually growing right at the moment. Nice. I'm hiring fishery officers across the country. We have vacancies in detachments literally coast to coast to coast. Wow. So if there are young people out there who are interested in, spending a lot of time outdoors, if they're interested in going to sea, if they're interested in, fishing, conservation, that sort of thing, I'd really love to encourage them to go to the DFO website, look up how to become a fishery officer, and give us a bit of a chance. We've got a recruitment video that we posted. Give us some consideration. It's a great career, and we're, as I said, looking for lots of fishery officers in the next few years to come.
And I can vouch for every single one of your people. Everyone I've met have all told me off camera that they pinch themselves every morning because they've got the best job in the world. So there you go. Any youngsters listening that are looking for a career in fisheries, there's a great offer. Go to DFO, check it out, and join up. Darren, thank you very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Listen, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Darren, Gotsu. Anyways, a wonderful program. Check it out. Go to DFO. It's all there. More journal after this. I'll share it away.